You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard, 3:05 on a Friday in Eastern Iowa. Great to have you aboard. As it's the Gym Class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour from the Econ Nutrition Studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, and Isaac Elzingall with you here today. We got a great show coming up for you. Rob Gray is going to join us from Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We will take a look at the Iowa State prospectus as far as the football in the spring is concerned and look back on an amazing men's and women's basketball campaign for Iowa State this past year. We will do that with Rob coming up in just a little bit. A lot to get to. We will talk about the second round of the Masters and a whole lot more here on a Friday edition of the program. 319-366-1600 is the text line. That is also the phone line as well. If you'd like to reach out and give us a call, 319-366-1600 from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on a sunny and windy day, but not nearly as windy as it is down in Augusta, Georgia. And Mark joins me on this Friday afternoon. How are you?
Doing great, Scott. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there.
You bet. Isaac with us here today as well. Ready for the weekend, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm excited, looking forward to all the fights tomorrow. Should be fun. UFC 300.
What fights?
UFC 300. UFC 300.
Well, you remember what happened in UFC 214?
No, man. I cannot remember.
That's my point.
UFC 300 is a little different. I could tell you what happened for UFC 200.
I have no idea, but I'm going to let you be our embedded correspondent for that. If you are so inclined, coming up next week with that. Speaking of next week, just to let the folks know that Monday and Tuesday, things are going to be a little different here in the Gym Class. Monday, we're going to have a best of program for you. And then Tuesday, we will be off. We will be back with you coming up next Wednesday. And at that time, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service is going to be joining us, talking about all the mocks and all the prospects and all that good stuff. So that'll be coming up next Wednesday, and we look forward to, as well, spring football. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk to Rob Gray coming up in just a little bit and see what's new as far as Iowa State's spring football preparations are concerned. Again, 319-366-1600. And Mark, though, the headliner this weekend, today, yesterday, the Masters, the 88th playing, going on at Augusta National, and Bryson DeChambeau has just birdied the 13th. He's gone back-to-back, and the long bombing right-hander now with a two-shot lead over Max Homa, who in anonymity played with Tiger today and ended up in second place right now at minus six, and Scottie Scheffler has fallen one shot off the pace here from his 66 yesterday. He is at minus five, but he is headed to the very, very gettable par five eighth hole right now. So it is windy, it is sunny, and it is tough playing conditions again, Mark.
It is. Some are having success. Some are not so much success. And DeChambeau hit one kind of off the map on 13, but somehow got it into play. Hit it to about 10, 12 feet and made the birdie putt. I mean, it's amazing how these guys can recover from shots. Not so much for Zach Johnson. He was going along nicely through 11 holes, even par, right on the cut line, and hit one wildly left on the 150-yard 12th hole. Ended up taking triple bogey. So Zach likely out of the weekend. Also out of the weekend, players such as Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, your guy Brian Harman, and Sam Burns, among others. But Tiger Woods has made the cut. He's plus one through 36 holes. His 24th straight cut made. Sounds like a lot, and it is. It's a great accomplishment. But frankly, the Masters is the easiest cut to make in the world. More than 50% of the players playing are going to make the cut, as opposed to any other event where like 40% make it. But nevertheless, a great accomplishment, especially at his age.
Yeah, 52 are in for the weekend right now out of the 89 that have teed off so far. The cut line is actually just moving up and moving up with everybody struggling in the wind this afternoon, as the cut line right now sits at plus four. And that's, as I mentioned, right now, the plus ones, you mentioned Tiger at plus one. He ended up, he is right now tied for 24th, but nine shots behind the leader, Bryson DeChambeau, and kind of watched everything. Started off with 29 players under par. We are down to 16 players under par, and that figure is probably going to go down a little bit more, Mark, because it is absolutely nasty out there right now. 38 mile per hour wind gust. The sand in the bunkers is whipping out right now in the exposed places, and it is crazy.
Yeah, the cut now plus four, maybe go to plus five. I don't know. That would be helpful to Zach Johnson if he can get a couple birdies. But nevertheless, it's while it's sunny, it looks very nice. Those winds are really wreaking havoc on a lot of players. And I don't know about you, Scott, but I went to this week, this second round, after watching Scottie Scheffler yesterday, and as good as DeChambeau has played, I just thought that, you know, if Scheffler makes putts, this thing's over. But right now, it's not the case.
No, it is not. So Bryson DeChambeau, and we'll get a complete update coming up from Westwood One here in just a little bit. But DeChambeau with the lead of two over Homa, who shot a 71 today, one under par. Best round on the golf course right now is Ludvig Åberg. He is at four under, and he is playing 18 right now. Colin Morikawa, very quietly. In fact, did not see a shot today from Colin Morikawa. He is at minus three, along with the Kiwi Ryan Fox is at minus three. Will Zalatoris, minus two. Matt Fitzpatrick at minus two. There is a bunch of very good players in red numbers right now. But the story is Tiger. He set the record 24 straight cuts, beat the record of Freddie Couples and I want to say Gary Player. Is that right, Mark?
Gary Player is correct. Yeah.
Gary Player was the other player. Tiger, great off the tee, just kind of guided it. Found fairway finders down the fairway. Was not real sharp with the irons, but man, he got up and down from, he was getting up and down from thimbles today at Augusta National. I mean, he turned what could have been about a 77 into a 72 today.
That's true of Tiger and true of several other players. And you need to get up and down on a course like this, especially when the wind's blowing. If you don't, you're going to make bogeys, double bogeys, maybe even more. But I thought Tiger, watching him play, I thought he played very smartly.
Yes.
Played within himself. You know, middle of the greens by and large. And plus one through 36. So non-contention, so to speak, but pretty good.
Going to be in there for the weekend. And, hey, you never know what's going to happen, but got a lot of players to pass, and right now nine shots between him and Bryson DeChambeau. So we'll see. You never know when you get to – it doesn't start until the back nine on Sunday, as they say, Mark.
And likely the same this year.
Very true. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you as we talk a little golf here on a Friday afternoon. Nothing better to talk about than golf here as we come your way on the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. And there were some, you mentioned Jordan Spieth at an 81. Brian Harman, I believe, had a 46 on the back So our friend from Caddy Smack, who loves to follow the plucky left-hander, the champion golfer of the world, Brian Harman, he is he's not going to make the cut for the Masters this year.
No, and we'll see as this round concludes who else is not going to play the weekend. And like you said, 53 players right now at plus four. The cut is low 50 in ties. So this could move again. We'll see.
Yeah, it could move again. And there aren't going to be many. The wind is supposed to go down. It's supposed to be actually really, really good weather for Saturday and for Sunday at Augusta National. So there are going to be some birdies that are going to be available out there. Still going to be a tough course. It's still very hard and fast. And we shall see. In fact, Ludvig Åberg has got about a 10-footer for a bogey on 18, which right now is playing just so incredibly tough with not only the wind and the elements, but also sand coming out of the bunkers and whipping at you when you're on the green. So crazy stuff going on right there. And there's still groups on the front nine at this point, Mark. It's going to be a long day, but they should get everything done today, the way it looks.
Yeah, they'll get things done today. And Tiger had to play 23 holes today. Some had to play more, some less. I don't know how many players finished. More than half the field finished yesterday. So, you know, they'll get this day past them, and hopefully many will enjoy the weekend. Others won't.
Others will not be enjoying the weekend. Phil Mickelson is in at plus one. Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy on the course. He is on number eight right now. He is at plus one as well. And you mentioned some of the people that might not be around for the weekend. Those at plus five as Åberg rolls in a bogey putt. So he only drops one. Best round of the day, 69, 300 par for the top 10 in the world. Victor Hovland, plus seven through his first six. He is not going to make the cut, it looks like, Mark. Ricky Fowler, yes, add another one to the ledger. He won the par three. He is not going to make the cut. So since 1960, no one has won the par three contest and gone on to win the Masters. Zach, as you mentioned, is at plus seven right now. Jordan Spieth is at plus nine. Brian Harman is done at plus nine. And others, Dustin Johnson had a 78 yesterday, and he's following it up with another 78 today. DJ is just not playing good golf right now.
Not in this tournament. I mean, have we touched on everybody? Do we want to talk about Christo Lamprecht or what?
He's not going to make the cut either. Looks like it's only going to be a couple of amateurs are going to make it. So, hey, good for them. That is quite an accomplishment. 319-366-1600. We got college basketball news today as well. We got a whole bevy of people that are going into the NBA draft. Donovan Clingan, the 7'2 center from UConn, according to Woj from ESPN, is a top 10 lottery choice, which I got to admit I do not see, because didn't we just watch Monday night Zach Edey kind of hand him his lunch? Did I miss something, Mark?
Two different games, as you know. The mock I read today had Edey going 22. So, I mean, I don't know. Kyle Filipowski from Duke going into the NBA draft, that was kind of expected. He's expected to be a top 10 pick. So, yeah.
You're going to have people coming and going. And as far as the portal is concerned, news which actually impacts a little bit of our interest here in Eastern Iowa, and that is the fact that Indiana today, they have apparently got a couple of commitments, and that would be from Miles Rice. Remember Miles Rice, the Washington State guard I believe the freshman for the Cougars, who had a very good game in the first round, didn't play so well against Iowa State. And Kanan Carlisle also. And also is in the Indiana is in the running for the big man out of Arizona, Ballo. So it looks as though now that Indiana does not need Tony Perkins at this time. So not sure Tony Perkins is going to be coming back to the University of Iowa, but the odds on favorite Indiana don't think that is going to be the case for Perkins.
Well, maybe Indiana doesn't feel Tony Perkins is worth $500,000 either.
Was that shocking to you as it was to me?
Well, if you missed it, Fran McCaffrey, the Iowa basketball coach, said at the monthly Presidential Committee on Athletics meeting that Tony Perkins had a market value of $500,000 and Iowa wasn't going to be able to meet it. And therefore, Fran said, see you. Best of luck to you. We wish you well. Thanks for everything you've done for us. And, you know, I don't want to go on a diatribe, but NIL is out of control. NIL is not about name, image, and likeness. It's about if the guy or the gal can play. It always has been.
And buying enough players to get yourself in a position for a championship.
And it's not a level playing field. The different states have different laws or rules, different conferences, the same. Until there's a national legislation, this thing is going to continue to spiral out of control. Not that, quote unquote, NIL began when the NCAA approved it in 2021. Paying players has been going on for a long time. Anybody that has a businessman, a farmer, what have you, there's a sack of money right around the corner and always has been. But I really don't think, and he can speak for himself, we don't have him on the show, I don't know that this is what Jordan Bohannon and others envisioned when they were first advocating for name, image, and likeness. I thought it was getting paid for autographs, being on, you know, games and whatnot. But and who's evaluating these guys? Who says Tony Perkins is worth $500,000?
And I'm not saying that Tony Perkins is not a good player. That is not what I'm
saying. I didn't
say
that at all
either. No, and I think the world of Tony Perkins. I don't think he's a $500,000 a year player, though.
What is he worth? I mean,
AJ Storr thinks he's a million-dollar player.
Who's to say?
Yeah, AJ Storr believes he's a million-dollar player for the Wisconsin, formerly of the Wisconsin Badgers. In there is Isaac. Is Tony Perkins a $500,000 player?
Oh, I guess I don't know the scale.
No scale.
I just hear numbers, and it's kind of like, oh, that sounds like a lot, but without any sort of knowledge of to compare it to, I can't really say one way or the other.
319-366-1600. Did Iowa make the correct choice? They didn't really have a choice, as you mentioned, Mark. They don't have the resources to do that. If you put all your eggs in one basket, basically for one player, then you don't have anything else out there. So what do you do? It is, and I don't want to pat myself in the back, but I said as soon as this started that this was going to be the case. If you thought football in the 60s and the 70s and in the 80s, with all the scholarship players that the Blue Bloods had on the sidelines, if that was an uneven playing field, you ain't seen nothing yet. And we are pole vaulting toward that particular outcome, Mark.
I think we might be already be there. I mean, do you think Caden Proctor left Iowa because, well, he didn't want to be home after all, which is what he said when he decided to come back to Iowa, and now he's going to Alabama apparently, and you think that's the reason? No, he's going to be paid a hell of a lot more. And, you know, I don't know, it's kind of watering down a lot. You know, it used to be players played to get that pro contract. Some players are going to make more in college than they ever will in the pros. That's wrong.
In fact, that question coming from 2757, isn't $500,000 more than the NBA league minimum? I just looked it up. No, it is not. The NBA league minimum is $1.1 million. In fact, this is the first year that the league minimum has been over the $1 million figure. So, no, that is not the case, but you're still making pretty good coin out there. 0549 asking, thank you for texting us, by the way. If Tony is $500,000, then what was Garza? $2 million? Garza was about 3 or 4 years short on all this. That's what it was. Can you imagine what somebody like a Luka Garza would be getting these days?
A lot more than Tony Perkins, but imagine somebody says, okay, Tony, come on in. We're going to pay you $500,000. Once again, what are they paying him for? His name? Tony Perkins? Not a lot of people in the country know his name. Basketball people do. His image? What's that? His likeness? He's a handsome enough guy, but they're playing whether paying whether he can play. It's pay for play, period. End of story.
And until it gets reined back, it's going to get worse and worse. And I don't see anything right now, any indication that we're going to rein this thing back from the NCAA or, you know, maybe even the government. I don't know. 319-366-1600 at 327. We're going to talk to Rob Gray. Maybe we'll breach that subject with him coming up here in just a couple of moments. And we need to get to Mark in an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 o'clock. A little windy, but not a bad day to be out on the porch at Emil's. You can take a look at their entire menu online at emilshideaway.com. A fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room. Catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery at Emil's. What do we got?
Kentucky has hired Mark Pope to be its new men's basketball coach, succeeding John Calipari. Pope goes to Kentucky from BYU. In 1996, Pope was the captain of the Wildcat team. In baseball, the Cedar Rapids Colonels got their second win of the season last night and continue a series against Dayton tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. In college baseball, Iowa begins a three-game set at Ohio State late this afternoon. The Hawkeyes 5-4 in Big Ten play, and Ohio State 3-3. This coming down last night, John Smith of Oklahoma State has announced his retirement as its wrestling coach. 33 years at Oklahoma State, 5 national titles, one of the true icons in college wrestling.
Yeah, he will be missed. Going to definitely be missed. And what a program he put together for Oklahoma State. We'll take a break, come back. Rob Gray is going to join us from Cyclone Fanatic and from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and we'll wrap up the basketball seasons for Iowa State, as well as talk some spring football with Rob when we come back on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have plenty of sunshine today with temperatures in the low to mid 60s. We are going to have the wind backing off this evening, and with clear skies tonight, we'll drop down into the upper 30s. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny, a little breezy once again with winds out of the south. Temperatures will be rising into the mid to upper 70s. We'll be around 80 degrees on Sunday and Monday with sunny skies. Rain chances will be increasing Monday night into Tuesday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Marcus is a connoisseur of anything that's free, so he was happy to read the disclaimer on TurboTax Free Edition.
Roughly 37% of taxpayers qualify. Form 1040 and limited credits only. See how at TurboTax.com. That's me!
File your taxes 100% free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your max refund guaranteed. See if you qualify to file for free at TurboTax.com. See max refund guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
3:30 back with you here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Masters going on right now. Bryson DeChambeau just gave a shot back. He is at -7 with a one-shot lead over both Max Homos in the clubhouse and Scottie Scheffler, who is on number 9. Nikolaj Højgaard and Danny Willett, an unusual duo right there. They are at -4. And John Rahm trying to make the cut and getting pelted by sand, Mark, as we speak, is at +3.
That's not play-by-play, right?
No, that's just letting you know.
Okay.
Hey, we've seen Colin Morikawa now. And another birdie. He is to -3, and he is done for the day. A nice, tidy 70 for Colin Morikawa. So that's the Masters. We're going to look back at a terrific pair of seasons for Iowa State men's and women's basketball and also talk about the Cyclones as they get ready for spring football with Matt Campbell. And we're going to do that with our friend Rob Gray, who joins us from Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette here in eastern Iowa. Rob, how you doing? You ready for spring, man?
Well, I felt like spring came in February for the first time ever, but more than just a day or two, and then March stunk. That's my birthday month. It always stinks. And now it seems like it's coming around. Yeah, we got the spring game in 8 days. And, yeah, I'm more than ready. Absolutely.
Rob, we were just, before we brought you on, Scott and I were talking about name, image, and likeness and how it's affected college sports. And TJ Otzelberger, very active in the transfer portal. What kind of shape is the collective in over in Ames?
Well, it's in good shape, but they don't have the money the real quote unquote big boys have. I know Brent Bloom, who's in charge of the WeWill Collective, quite well, and obviously he does a podcast with the Cyclone Fanatic publisher, Chris Williams, a couple times a week, and he's got updates on these things. And they've been able to hold their own in part because of, I know it's a cliche, but they feel like they can hold guys with their culture. You know, that it holds for the football team, men's basketball in particular. I mean, women's basketball has had some people go in the portal, some unexpected, most of them expected, I would say, since the portal became a thing. So, you know, it's in good shape, but again, they're not flush with cash. I mean, there's a reason John Calipari went from Kentucky to Arkansas. Obviously Kentucky was wearing thin on both sides, given his lack of championships and all that, but Arkansas has a ton of money for its collective. And it sounds like, you know, when you've got the Walton family there, you've got Tyson Food, you got a lot of money behind that. So Iowa State's not in that league, but they feel like they're in a good spot that they can retain key guys across a variety of sports. And I guess that's a much better place to be than, you know, bleeding talented players from your roster, for sure.
Very true. Very true. I said within a week or around a week anyway of the end of the season for Iowa State and the men's basketball team, they would have several players already committed out of the portal. And that is the case again this year. I mean, TJ Otzelberger does a really good job of A, recruiting. We all know that. But B, finding guys that are going to help his team that fit, you know, like a round peg in a round hole. I think he's done that again with the three that he's brought in so far. What do you think?
No, I agree. And I mean, that entire staff, I mean, when you look back at how they've rebuilt the program from 2-22 to a Sweet 16 to a very successful second season and then another Sweet 16, you guys like Robert Jones. I mean, he was going to go to UNI because he had an existing relationship with Kyle Green. Well, Kyle Green joins TJ's staff and Robert Jones becomes a guy who, you know, didn't produce much it wasn't expected to do much, but it became a key contributor, and especially in terms of leading, showing guys what the demands are, you know, from TJ, whether it be show up super early, the habits, all those things. And yeah, the guys they've gotten now have filled needs perfectly. And a lot of them, there were existing relationships. Or, you know, you've got somebody in state, you know, the big from Charlotte. I mean, I don't know how much was existing there, but that's a big need. You get a 6'11 guy who can score it, can rebound. And obviously they missed on a guy recently because of NIL, Javon Hadley of Colorado. Some schools are offering insane money, it sounds like, for him. But yeah, they've filled some needs, just as they seem to do every year, and quickly in the portal. And by the way, guys, how insane is it that the portal opens on March 18th, right around the time we're getting ready for the NCAA tournament? Right? That makes no sense to me, but that's an aside. TJ and his staff do a good job of identifying guys that fill those needs and generally aren't going to break the bank. They know their niche, and they cater to it really well.
One of those guys is Nate Heisey, the former UNI Panther. Yep. I do have to say I was a little surprised with his decision to go to Iowa State, just kind of based on what Iowa State is bringing back with Gilbert and with Lipsy and other guys, Jones coming in off the perimeter. Did that surprise you?
A little bit, but I felt they wanted a fourth. I mean, Jackson Pavelski, really nice player. I think it became pretty clear that he wasn't quite ready for this level. He sparked him a couple times off the bench, but he couldn't crack that rotation for key games down the stretch. And you know, he's going to find a better fit. And, you know, you want to have a fourth guy. And then Heisey, he can rebound it pretty well, too. I mean, so you've got a guy who's got some positional versatility. And when you throw in Milan Mocilovic, it's kind of the same deal, obviously bigger than Heisey, but you know, you're getting some guys who can add to the glass, and they demand so much rebounding wise from their guards, particularly Lipsy. You see it from Gilbert, Kurt Jones. That I'm not that surprised, but I completely get what you mean, Scott. When you've got three guys that contributed in such a big way, you know, do you want to add a fourth piece in the backcourt? And clearly, TJ and his staff said yes, we do, and they can find a way to manage minutes, and like they did kind of with Kurt Jones coming off the bench. Sometimes he played more than Gilbert, even though he was kind of like the sixth man.
How about Omaha Ballou? Appeared to be a good team player, biding his time. Couldn't quite crack the lineup. And then apparently he's out the door. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it was becoming quite clear that at this point, and again, this is just me, this is informed speculation on my part, but if Omaha, you know, he did contribute against K-State in the first leg of that Big 12 tournament winning run because Demaryius Watson was still feeling the effects of or concussion-like symptoms. I think it was becoming clear that it would serve Omaha well to go somewhere where he can play considerable minutes and learn on the job, so to speak, not just in practice. And as far as Iowa State assessment, he's not ready for that right now. But you're right. I mean, his attitude, they've never questioned that. I think it's been an open book in terms of the relationship. So I don't think there's any hard feelings on any side there. But it just didn't turn out to be that great a fit at Iowa State. And I think Omaha's upside is still tremendous. And he wants to get that on-the-job training, more, so to speak, sooner rather than later, and I think that really explains how they parted ways with the very promising five-star McDonald's All-American.
Yeah. Rob Gray joining us here on the Gym Class. And Rob, this Iowa State men's basketball season, looking back on it now, great run, obviously, the Big 12 tournament championship, what they accomplished in the regular season. I mean, have you had a chance to kind of look back on it and just say, man, that was pretty darn special?
Yeah, I think, you know, right after the Illinois loss, and I think that's one of many losses that they had. They didn't have that many, 29-9, I believe. off the top of my head, you'd think I know it like the back of my hand, but I think that's most of those losses, there were things they could attribute it to, like they didn't shoot well enough in stretches. They fell behind. That can happen against Illinois. So I asked the guys to reflect, and you had a range of guys, whether it's Milan Momcilovic, who just a brutal self-assessment. But as I wrote, I mean, that's what winners do. He said he was terrible against Illinois, you know, 0-for-4, I believe. Just could not get going, scored a single point. But he'll be back, and he'll be better for it. And then the fact that he is a winner, he can be that hard on himself, so to speak. But then you get guys like Robert Jones, who I mentioned, and Trey King, another stalwart in the front court. Hassan Ward, who became just the lob dunk kind of superstar for them, a real spark plug in that way, and a much better defender, and a guy who can they could work the ball through the high post with, like the other guys, as a good passer. Those guys really reflected on feeling like they changed a, you know, a quote-unquote culture. They, you know, Jones came in with the after 2-22. Trey King pretty much came in after that. They had to sit out a year and a half from Eastern Kentucky, and then Hassan the last couple seasons, and he went through his own trials with the not being able to get in the country until, you know, the summertime two seasons ago when he after he committed because of some visa passport issues. So those guys feel really proud about what they've done, but they also say to them the best is yet to come. And I know everybody always says that, but when you have guys like Taman Lipsey and that type of talent in the backcourt and people who are lifelong fans of the program like Taman and people that bought in, I mean, the more talk was about how bright the future is versus what a remarkable run it was, even though it was remarkable because you brought in a bunch of new guys and they just, like a Kurt Jones and Keyshawn Gilbert, who gelled and really helped this team reach heights that I think Cyclone fans were pleased to see them get up to.
Maybe the best yet to come for the Iowa State women as well, Rob. What a great season for Bill Finley's group, the emergence of Audie Crooks and others. Man, that Stanford game, I think, was one of the best I saw in either tournament.
Yeah, that was an incredible game, and to be watching it, you know, from, you know, we're covering the men and just back and forth. And Stanford was so many skilled players, obviously, and they did go down in the next round, but against a really good team. But Audie Crooks, I think, is the revelation. I think Addie Brown gets overlooked a little bit. She did a little bit of everything. You know, I think the leading rebounder on the team, close to the assists, and then, but Audie Crooks, I mean, for her to make the impact coming out of Algona Garrigan, she knew all the question marks. It's like, oh, can her game translate to high major women's college basketball? And it sure did. I mean, she was a dominant force. I mean, there were games, you know, Baylor's head coach, Nikki Collins, said we didn't have an answer for her, you know, and Jenny Voracek at Oklahoma said we had the game plan for a freshman. And then she paused and said, you know how special that is that we had the game plan for a freshman? So Crooks, I think development, her ability to get into top condition and play 25, 27 minutes and produce seemingly about a point a minute, it feels like, that was tremendous for them. And then Emily Ryan coming out, you know, after her injury issues and all that, no one would have expected that team to A, get to the NCAA tournament preseason, or B, you know, have a bit of a run like it did. So, yeah, they lost some players to the portal, but they're working on filling those needs as well. And when you got a core like Emily Ryan, Audie Crooks, Addie Brown, and others, you know, Kelsey Jones had her moments, Ariana Jackson, a number of others, the future's very bright there for sure as well.
The best maybe the best recruit that Bill Finley got was getting Emily Ryan back. I mean, people just don't know how big of an impact that she has on this basketball team. I mean, Bill said it. She's another coach out on the floor. And just to have her give her a commitment to come back for that extra year next year, that makes this team, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, the coaches did it, and I know Bill's had Latoya Shaban and Steyer with them for a long time, and he credited them to their best coaching job ever, which is saying something. Jody Steyer, sorry, omit her first name. But Emily Ryan is kind of the MVP of this program. If you look back to the big exodus of the transfer portal, Alexi Donarski's prior to the season, I mean, it looked like what is going to happen. It was up in the air with her seemingly, and she put out stuff on social media that I'm 100% with this team, with this program, with Coach Finley. And I think everyone that cares about Iowa State women's basketball kind of collectively heaved a sigh of relief. And then for her to not only he's so key to unlocking the potential of Audie Crooks, Addie Brown, and others. Once he was able to play just before conference season started and beyond, to say, yeah, well, I'm going to give it one more go. You know, I think that's, you know, Finley has said she's one of, if not the most special person he's coached. And, you know, she clearly feels the same way about that program, which, you know, looked pretty wobbly there for a while. And she's always been a steadying force, and she'll be a steadying force at least one more season, it looks like.
Spring football, Rob, a lot of excitement, I think, in the Cyclone camp. First of all, the schedule appears to be pretty favorable, if there is such a thing. But I look at the skill positions on offense between quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and whatnot. His team could be pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the coming back last season to win 7 regular season games, I know that kind of ran into some issues against Memphis, but sure, Rocco Beck could sure throw the ball all over the field, and Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, big games there. And Benny Ngoy made a big catch, freshman. Just so much youth last year, and the rebound from 4-8, where they lost so many close games, and still lost some close games last year. And I mean, you look early in the season, they were at a crossroads after 10-3 loss at Ohio, and the offense was just stuck in the mud, and they opened it up. You know, they let, as people like to say, they let Rocco cook, Rocco Becht, and, you know, became Big 12 Offensive Freshman of the Year. You know, set a bunch of freshman records that, oh, by the way, most, if not all, were owned by a guy named Brock Purdy. And, you know, they bring most of their starters back on both sides of the ball, with the notable exception or absence of TJ Tampa, the excellent corner who's going to be, according to Mel Kiper of ESPN, probably a second-round NFL draft pick. So, yeah, a lot of optimism there. I mean, schedule or not, I mean, you know, you open up against an FCS power like – or you open up – it does look like there's a good chance for them to build on that, to get back to feeling like an 8 or 9 win season could be in the offing when he got that much talent coming back. And again, they didn't lose much of the transfer portal either, and they could help themselves out with a guy like Isaiah Alston, super athletic receiver for Army, who doesn't get that many balls through his way, but he averaged like 25 yards a catch given Army system. So, and other guys, guys got in the D-line, running back. So they feel like they're in a really good spot, too, with all that returning talent and being on the plus side of the portal, at least for now.
New offensive coordinator, a lot of changes as far as the coaching staff on the offensive side. Rob, Taylor Mauser taking over as the offensive coordinator. Do you anticipate a lot of changes for the Iowa State offense? That's probably one of the things that's one of the bigger mysteries of spring.
Yeah, I think we saw some changes when Nate Shieldhouse took over, you know, after being in the program for quite a while, coaching running backs, receivers, et cetera. Now he's moved on to be on the LA Rams staff in the NFL. I think it's still head coach Matt Campbell's team, and that includes offense and to some extent defense. So I think they're still going to want to insist on trying to get some balance running the ball. They did have some imbalanced efforts because teams would just load the box and say, we're going to make the redshirt freshman Rocco Becht and his receivers beat us. And they did that a fair number of times in the passing game. But I think what they stress, and they've stressed this ever since Campbell got there, is it's a very collaborative approach offensively. So while there is a coordinator and that's that person's responsibility to quote unquote call the plays, they're welcoming ideas from everywhere, from GAs, from players themselves. What do they see? And I think that's where the creativity comes from. The fact that there's not a lot of pride or this AC, there are no egos in that room. So they'll continue to try to implement some things they see that are intriguing or perhaps new, but I think it's the same bread and butter stuff. They're going to try to establish the run. And unless they absolutely can't, you know, they're going to stick to that paradigm of trying to have a pretty balanced offense, but certainly with some wrinkles for sure with Coach Mauser and other new guys on staff as well.
How about the quarterback situation? You mentioned Rocco Becht, but it is a very crowded room and getting even more crowded with people coming in. And with commitments as well. Mansky from up in Algona committing to Iowa State. Do you foresee everybody sticking around in this day and age as we kind of circle back to the portal and NIL?
Yeah, I think every program is going to expect that a quarterback or two that it recruits is going to transfer. You need a number of people in that room, and you talked about, we got Rocco back. The high four-star J.J. Cole came in last year, apparently pushed back quite a bit in fall camp, but did not win the job. And Connor Moberly, highly touted guy out of Southeast Polk, now in the mix, and Hughes, the junior college transfer, still there. Yeah, I think you've got to count on guys that if they can't get into that top two within a year, they're going to move on because everybody wants to play. And people always ask, oh, J.J. Cole, is he going to go? Well, if he can't beat out Rocco Becht, maybe it's a good thing that he goes. It goes back to the Omaha Billy U situation. Highly touted recruit, obviously, for good reason. But if you can't crack the lineup because you got a lot of experienced guys who know how to play in the Big 12 and play high major college basketball, maybe it's better to go somewhere else. So long-winded answer, sorry, to know they can't keep everybody, but they're going to keep trying to develop guys and let the cream rise to the top and let the guys who can't quite reach that level, kind of wish them well and go from there.
What are you looking at the spring game? One thing that you're going to pay particular attention to?
Oh, boy. It's a spring game, I guess. I guess I'll look at the new guys, and obviously, John Tez Williams. You know, he's going to possibly be TJ Tampa's replacement. I think Darian Porter is intriguing, a guy, great track guy, obviously, at the high school level. He's been a key special teams contributor, and he can, with his length and athleticism and speed, can really help out in the secondary as well. Some of the receivers, I really want to see what Isaiah Alston could do out of Army, whom I mentioned. And just what bodies are out there, who's moving around. It's a glorified practice, right? But I mean, I think the people that fans and reporters alike will keep an eye on are the newcomers, whether within the program getting their first action after redshirting or some of the transfers like Alston, like Jalen Jackson, et cetera.
Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a more anticipated athletic year going into a campaign than what could be in Ames next year for 24-25. Agree?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the big three sports, I mean, football, you return almost every starter on both sides of the ball. And they play a lot of guys on special teams who start, so there too. Do you think they would plan to take the next step again? And that's get back, as I mentioned, 8-9 wins, really challenge to get toward that Big 12 championship potential position. And the talent, I think, is there to do that. And then, men's basketball coming off of Sweet 16 where they feel like they could have done more and really could have done more. And women's basketball with that foundation, Audie Crooks, I think the sky's the limit for Addie Brown, I think could make an even bigger jump because she's an all-around player who can handle the ball, really shoot it from three, already rebounds and assists at a high level. And the Emily Ryan factor, as we mentioned. Yeah, I completely agree, Scott. I mean, I think enthusiasm for those three programs in particular, and not just those, wrestling, we didn't even touch on the top five for the first time in a long time, Kevin Dresser's program. Enthusiasm is certainly at an all-time high, at least in terms of recent memory, for sure.
Yeah. Great stuff, Rob. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time. We'll talk soon.
Scott, Mark, always a pleasure, and get out and enjoy that spring weather.
We will. All right. Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic joining us, and from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up, get you updated on the Masters after this.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness, but money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with three teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top, or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around. never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness, or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Lowe's knows pros need the right tools for every job. That's why we sell the largest in-store selection of Klein tools anywhere. Find new items like the self-leveling green laser level for just $159.98. Plus, shop the Connect pass-through socket set for $49.98, which you can only find at Lowe's. Shop Klein tools in-store and online today. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows pros.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BICEP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BICEP to 321-321. That's BICEP to 321-321.
Scott Unash from your neighborhood Quick Star, and a reminder that all of the great savings that you can have this weekend at Quick Star going on right now. Quickery cookies, they are delicious. 4-count package for $1.99, or you can get the big one, the 12-count package. That is $4.99, as well as pothole pizza, assorted varieties, limit two. They are $7.99 right now, as well as Kitchen Cravings string cheese, two for $6, as well as Kitchen Cravings boneless pork loin chop, 99 cents each with a limit of five. And all that and a whole lot more is available right now at your neighborhood Quick Star. 319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports coming your way next here on KGYM from 4 until 6 o'clock. And Mark, so far right now, DeChambeau and Scheffler still at the top of the leaderboard at the Masters.
Yeah, nobody really burning it up like yesterday when DeChambeau shot 7 under and Scheffler 6 under and home. I had a good day. It's a result of the win. There's no question about it. And I'll be interested to see where the 36-hole lead lands up.
Yeah, I would be interested in as well. We will talk with you coming up Wednesday, Mark.
I'll talk to you in midweek. Have a great weekend.
You bet. And we are going to have a best of. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, we'll be off on Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. We'll talk NFL draft with John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service. That'll be coming up on Wednesday. Coming up next, Spencer on Sports. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Masters. Talk to you next week here on the Gym Class.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax relief.